And I feel like God has put a sermon on my heart today called The Present Jesus. Not the absent Jesus, but the present Jesus. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 6, we'll get right into the ministry of the word. Mark chapter 6. I'm glad that the Bible tells us that God is never afar off. Praise the Lord. I don't believe necessarily that God measures time and distance the way we do. I believe he can be right here. Amen. And he is right here. And if he's on the other side of the world, people are worshiping him, he can be there too. At the same time, he's all present. You say, well, I don't understand. We don't have to understand. We just know that he is because he says he is. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 45, we'll begin there. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat with to them, and the wind ceased, and there was a great, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Father, thank you for your word today, and I pray that you'd bless and encourage the heart and the life of each person, Lord, as we receive the infallible, inspired word of God that you've given us, Lord, in written form. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. The present Jesus. Let's just start with this. Have you ever heard anybody say, I can't be there, but I'll be there in spirit? Amen. This means they won't be there. I've often heard people say, I'll be in church Sunday. I can't be there, but I'll be there in spirit. That means they'll be absent. However, Jesus is present. Here, Jesus wasn't just there in spirit. He was literally there. And I believe he's literally here. Amen. One day, Jesus will return in power and glory. We can be as certain of his promise, this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. At his second coming, every eye will see him, every knee shall bow. Amen. Every tongue confess that he's Lord of the glory of God the Father. Amen. Jesus is here today in the sense that we know him through his Holy Spirit. Praise God. But he will literally return invisible to all humanity. All, every eye will see him. Amen. Throughout this world. Praise the Lord. But until then, we must keep on knowing that Christ is present today. Here we have the story of Jesus and his disciples here on the sea. And Jesus sent his disciples away to go to the other side of the sea. And he didn't go with them at this very point. And he sent the multitude away. Wherever Jesus was, there was a multitude. They were receiving healing. They were receiving the miracles happening. People that were sick were being healed. People that were diseased were healed. People were that were lame walked. People, even some people that were dead, rose to life because Christ, the resurrection and the life, was there. Praise the Lord. But yet he sent the multitude away, and it was dark, and so the disciples were out in their boat in the ocean or in the sea. And Jesus remained. The Bible says something interesting here. It says Jesus went into the mountain to pray. And you say, well, why does Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, why does God need to pray? Why does Jesus need to pray? Well, in his humanity, he communed with the Father. He didn't cease to be God, but he was with the Father in communion daily. And Jesus was showing us and his disciples how important it is to pray in fellowship with God. As a matter of fact, one place it says the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus taught them how to pray because they saw something about Jesus' prayer life that they wanted. Amen. And so he was showing us the importance of prayer relationship with God wherever we are, and that there was never a time when we cannot pray, and never a place when we cannot pray, and never a God that doesn't hear, but a God who does hear today, a God who says, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not." Amen. We serve a God today who hears, a God who ever loves, who ever cares for his children. Amen. He's not a God that goes away when the times are bad or where things don't look too good. Amen. But he's a God that's present always. And when you get there, God will already be there because he doesn't leave his children. Praise the Lord. So we must spend time with God. This is where a lot of times it's the absence of this is where backsliding starts, when people fail to spend time with God. They may begin with an encounter with God. They may live for God for a while, but when times get hard or get rough and things don't look very good at the moment, many times they don't continue with God. But God tells us to continue. It's interesting to me, on the day after the day of Pentecost, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, Acts 2:42, he says, and they continued in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and the apostles' doctrine. They continued in those things. My friend, people that continue with God won't backslide or turn away from God. They'll just keep on going. Just keep on living for God. And I'll tell you, in this age, friend, just keep on living for God. I don't care what the stock market's doing or isn't doing. I don't care what the Democrats are doing or the Republicans are doing or the Independents or the idiots are doing. Just keep on serving God. Live for God. I don't think there's that party. But anyway, just keep on, just continue to serve God. Jesus said in John 8:31, says to the then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, said, "If you continue in my word," the word "if" there, it's there. "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Man, if you continue, what if you don't continue? You don't continue to be his disciple, his follower. But he said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." So we know that we can continue on with God. And we know on land and in the sea, Jesus was present here with his disciples. Amen. There's a scripture in 1 John 2:19 that tells about some people that were not living for God, probably dealing with false teachers. And it showed who they were. And this is a very interesting verse, 1 John 2:19. "They went out from us." No doubt some had professed faith in Christ, whether it's real or not. They probably wasn't. "But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that none of them were of us." They were not really born again or really saved or really followers of God because they did not continue in the faith. And you and I must continue in the faith. And God does not leave us. God doesn't leave people. People leave God, and people leave God out of their lives. And that's why people are lost. While Jesus was on land and the disciples were in the sea, Jesus was all-knowing and all-present. We see Jesus' deity comes out here. Yes, he was a son of man in the sense of his humanity, but he was also son of God in the sense of his deity. See the two terms used very much in Scripture. And while Jesus was on the land, his disciples were on the sea, Jesus was knowing what was happening. God is never unaware of what's happening to you. You haven't run into something that God has never run up against before. He's always there, amen, with humanity. Praise God, those that are living for him. And Jesus was all-knowing and all-present. They would face nothing alone, though they would feel alone. And I imagine on a ship that's almost wrecked and you're almost going down, that you would feel alone. And you would say, "Maybe I'm just bait for the sharks. Or I'm just, something could happen to me, or I'll drown, or this is my time, and this is the way it's going to go with me." But these people were fishermen, they knew what they were doing, but they hadn't planned on the present storm. Have you ever had a storm of life that you just didn't plan on? Amen. Because storms happen suddenly, usually, especially here on the sea that they were on. But Jesus was present. And let me tell you something, church, we cannot go anywhere that he hasn't already been. We cannot go anywhere, walk anywhere where he hasn't walked. And God has walked countless people through whatever you're walking through in your life. You may have never faced it before, but God has. And he's not puzzled or wondering what in the world, wringing his hands, wondering what in the world I'm going to do. God doesn't do. He's God. He knows. He knows how much you can take. He knows what you're made of because he created you in his likeness and image. He knows you. And we will not face anything in our life. You will not face any wave too high for God. In other words, the disciples here, there's no fire too high. There's no mountain too high. There's no river too wide for God. God had to make the prophet Isaiah know this. Isaiah was preaching to the people that would eventually be judged and they would go off into Babylonian captivity. And things, here's prayer services, would not be what he wanted them to be. But God would remind Isaiah here. He said, "But now thus saith the Lord," Isaiah 43, "who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Let me tell you something to church today. The Lord God is our God. Praise the Lord. We belong to him. He's the Holy One of Israel. He is the Savior and the Redeemer, the Healer. You belong to him. Hallelujah. And he's always present. Present Jesus. If we look in the Old Testament, we'll find that God wasn't absent in the Old Testament or New Testament. There was three Hebrew children who were commanded to bow down and worship an image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And he told them, he said, "If you don't bow down to this image, you're going to burn in that fire. And there's nothing. Who is the God that's going to deliver you from my hand?" Oh, he shouldn't have said that. Because he would soon find out who would deliver them from their hand. I want to tell you something. Three Hebrew children were cast into a fiery furnace. The fire was so hot it burned the men who were trying to throw them in there. And God was present there. God was not absent because King Neb, if you'll pardon the expression, looked and he saw not three men but four men. God was present with the three Hebrew children. He was not absent. He was not somewhere, some galaxy far beyond. He was right there with them. Praise God. He will be with you when you go through the fire. When things that you can't handle yourself, God is not absent. He's a present Jesus. Hallelujah. In the Babylonian Empire, some people caught Daniel praying to another god because the dictator of Babylon was supposed to be worshipped as God. I don't know. I wonder how long it takes for humanity to figure out that they're really not God. Nor am I, nor are you. But God alone is God. But they worshipped many gods in Babylon. We find that they were commanded by a decree from the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed, for to bow down or call out to no other god except the king. And so they agreed to this, and it was signed into law. But Daniel, when he knew that the law was signed, he opened his window toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day as his manner was. He had a habit of praying. He was in a foreign land, but God was not foreign to him. He was in a far country, but it wasn't a far country to God because God was there. And so they caught Daniel praying to his God three times a day. The king regretted what he had done, but he could not find any way to reverse the law. And so therefore Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And in that day, if you read a little bit of history on that, the lion's den was kept full of lions and they were allowed to starve for several days with nothing to eat. So when people were executed according to this means, this is unreasonable to us, this was no doubt unusual, unfair and unusual punishment. They would be thrown to the lions who were immediately ready to take a bite of anything that fell into the den. And so Daniel was cast into there, and I'm sure that the king was sure that by morning he would find nothing but bones, if that, when he went to the lion's den. But Daniel was there, and God was present. And later on, the next day, the king would come. He would cry out. He said, "Oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you?" Daniel called out, said, "I'm all right. God has closed the lion's mouths, and I'm all right." He brought him out. I want to tell you, God was present. He was a present God. Amen. God was present on the Isle of Patmos when John the Revelator was given there, and John wasn't put on Patmos because he was a good old boy, according to the Roman Empire. He was put there for his witness and his testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had the greatest visitation, greatest revelation ever on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. Because God was there and God revealed himself powerfully to John and gave him the revelation that we have in the book of Revelations today. But I want to tell you something. No relationship is there that God cannot restore. There's no marriage God can't restore. Amen. There's no home and family life that God can't restore. Amen. There is no father, son, daughter, or mother relationship that God cannot repair and restore. We serve a God who can do anything, and we need to believe him for great things. My friend, don't throw your hands up and give up and say, yes, people have to yield to God, and yes, people have to give God the chance, give God the opportunity, but I'm here to tell you, God came here. Jesus is a master carpenter, and yet you've learned that as a trade, as a kid, but I can tell you, he came to take people's lives and put their lives back together. This lies that the devil is trying to destroy, Jesus is able to bind up the brokenhearted. He's able to heal the sick and the lame, and he's still able to do anything that he was always able to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the present Jesus, let's see that he's also all-seeing and all-powerful. We cannot do anything that God does not see. How many people have tried to hide from God? How many people say, "Well, I'll do this at night so God won't see it"? Psalms 139 says the darkness and the light are alike to God. Just in the daytime, he's also nocturnal. He sees at night everything as plain as he does in the day. That's not a good term for it, I don't guess, but anyway, he can see all things. And so Jesus looks and sees them across the sea and sees them straining and rowing, doing everything within human power to get that ship back to the shore. I'm sure they're saying within themselves, "Why did Jesus tell us to go on out here? Or why did we think of coming out here to start with?" They weren't expecting the storm. But they were, verse 48 tells us there, and he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And so toward the end of the night, fourth watch of the night, from 3 to 6, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And they were doing everything humanly possible to survive the storm, and they needed someone greater than they could produce. Their oars wasn't strong enough. Their boat wasn't fast enough. Amen. They didn't even have a motor. But you see, there's nothing they could do. And you know, church life offers things that where we must have someone greater than us to take care of. That's a wonderful thing about being a Christian. We serve one who is greater than what we'll ever go through. You say, "Well, I've seen people die of things and die in pain." Yes, but if they were right with God, the power of God took them in a moment's time from that place to an eternity in heaven where there's never sickness, sorrow, disease, or death. We serve a wonderful God with a wonderful future he's prepared for us. Praise God. And so we find here that they were striving against the wind and the water, and wind and water are both powerful forces of nature. And both wind and water can destroy or can be good. West Texas is known for its wind. And tornadoes and high winds can destroy homes and buildings and even entire cities and everything that people have worked for. Amen. Let me bring that down a little bit. Gossips can destroy people with their hot air. But let me tell you something. The powerful ocean waves can wreck large ships. They can be destructive to coastal cities. They can destroy homes and decorated residences that took years to build. The last hurricane in South Texas here, I saw people on the news that stood looking at the destroyed residence. their homes. And many of them would say, we have spent all that we've had and worked all of our lives to have a good home. And look, it's just a pile of junk now. That's hard. Amen. I'm glad that God's got a place in heaven prepared for us. Where neither rust nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. Amen. We got a place God has for us. But you see, our faith must be built upon something greater, someone greater. It must be built on Christ, who is ever-present, already powerful and able, and sees through everything before it ever begins. Spiritually, it can seem that powerful things are against the believer and against the God we serve. And I can tell you, there are things that are against the God we serve. He doesn't feel threatened, and he's not threatened. But in our country, there's growing oppositions to Scripture being read in classrooms. That's nothing new. And taking God out of classrooms. I remember when school was started with a devotion. That's how old I am. And want God to be taken out of all learning institutions. And you're considered to be an absolute moron if you believe in God. I want to tell you something. I'll be a moron forever because I believe in God. And anybody that's got common sense believes in God. It's not a moron. Praise the Lord. But however, God has a way to cause people to pray that didn't think prayer is necessary ever. And God has a way of awakening people up to make them know that there is a God. And that things are beyond their control and they can do nothing to stop it or nothing to help it or nothing to take away the present danger. In the 9/11, when our nation was bombed, New York City was bombed by airplanes, not bombed really, airplanes run into buildings and caught most of the city on fire, a lot of it. You know, it's amazing, during that time, we heard nothing from the atheist. They didn't rise up to help anybody. We didn't hear anything from the freedom from religion group. I want to tell you something, 9/11, it made the hounds of hell shut up. Amen. And the people of God began to cry out and pray, and even unconverted people began to pray. Amen. God can cause things to happen that will make people pray. And so, no doubt here, Jesus sees these people struggling with the wind and the waves, and he says, I've got to do something about this. Praise the Lord. And God can and does do things, powerful things for us. Praise the Lord. Today, the wind that blows may seem be against you financially, health-wise. Future things may not look so wonderful, but this same Jesus, I can tell you, is greater than your storm. He's greater than your worry. He's greater than your fear. He's never lost a battle. He's never been blown away. He's never been washed away. He's never been out of an answer for whatever you're going through today, my friend. You can trust him that he is the present Jesus, never far away. You can call on him. Praise the Lord. Last of all, we see here that Jesus comes on the scene. Why didn't Jesus come first? Because these disciples and us need to learn to wait on God that he's going to be faithful. And so we see that Jesus comes here. He sees them raining, straining and rowing, trying to get their boat back to shore. And here comes Jesus walking on the sea. We see a bit of deity come out here, because this is not humanly possible to walk on water. One fellow told me one time, he said, I tried to walk on water. He said, I went out in the ocean. He said, I dog paddled till faith increased. Well, faith never did increase enough. Amen. Gravity will tell you, if you hop off into 50 foot of water, you're going down. Amen. But here we find that Jesus comes walking on the thing that threatened them the most, the powerful waves that could overflow into their boat, into their ship, and cause it to completely sink. And it would be over for them. But no, Jesus comes walking on the water. Praise the Lord. And so here he comes, middle of the night, before daylight, walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Verse 49, when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. And so their reaction was, when they saw Jesus walk, they didn't recognize it as Jesus at first, but the disciples cried out. with terror at Jesus' appearance on the water. They're thinking, we've seen him heal the sick, we've seen him raise the dead, we've seen him do all kinds of things, but to walk on the water, and when that water is threatening to take us out? And they thought he was a ghost. In the Greek, a water fountain, phantom. They thought they were seeing things. They were really seeing him, Jesus. They responded in fear. They cried out because they saw him. My friend, they saw one that was a creator of the ends of the earth. They saw the one who had spoke the world into existence. They saw the one who had healed the sick. They saw the one who was able to do anything exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And that's a lot. But my friend, they cried out to him. Natural response. Cry out when you're in trouble, when you're in fear. But I want to tell you something, friend. You can go through things in this life and you can always cry out to God. Say, God, I need your help. He's not afar off. He'll say, I'll be there next week. He will say, call unto me and I will answer you. He's a present Jesus, a present Savior. Amen. He's not turned off by anything. He's not stumped by any problem that you have. I tell you, he knows what to do. He's not a water phantom. He's not a ghost. But they were seeing in the supernatural realm, they were seeing God the Son walk on what they feared the most and what threatened them the most. And they cried out, a normal reaction to insecurity. And the Bible says here, he talked with them. Verse 50, and immediately he talked with them. Here was the Son of God standing on the water and saying, I got something to say to you, I want to talk to you. And I believe they were ready to listen. Amen. Praise God. Fear at first, thought it was a ghost, but then they cried out, insecure as they were. This is the one who spoke worlds into existence, the one who they saw heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Now they see him walking on their greatest threat, the sea. Can I tell you, friend, today, whatever comes your way in life that seems like the greatest threat, it's not too big for God. If it's causing you to sink, he's walking on it. Amen. It's not going to take him under. He has authority over all things. Another place it says, who can this be? Or what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Praise God. This was the Son of God. And so, who is this? This was Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. This was Christ, the resurrection, and the life. This was Christ, the light of the world. Amen. This was him who lives and was dead and who holds us alive forevermore. That's what he is to us. He's the creator. He's the one who caused the Red Sea to open and people to march through on dry ground. That takes God to do that. Amen. He's the one that caused fire to come down from heaven for Elijah. He's the one who died and rose again to save you and I. Impossible any other way, but not with God. And he's the one who will call his church away one day. Up. He will say, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place hereafter. He's calling the church there. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is never absent. Let me give it, close with this. We serve an ever-present Jesus. He cannot be seen with the natural eye, but as creator, he can be seen everywhere. Years ago, a Russian cosmonaut went into outer space and growing up in an atheistic country, and he was out there. He said, did you see God? He said, I didn't see God anywhere out there. American astronaut went up in outer space. He was asked if he saw God. He said, I see God everywhere. That's what I like. Thank you, Father. I'm glad that we serve a present Jesus. Praise God. A present help in time of need.